Thanks for joining us this weekend here on the Outdoor Magazine Show. You can hear us on WILS in Lansing. That's 1320 AM. And in Ishpeming, WIAN, 1240 AM. And yeah, I figured it out. We are wrapping up our second quarter of Jay's Outdoor Magazine shows, going into reruns the third quarter. I don't know why that was so hard to figure out. You've heard it said that muskies are the fish of 10,000 casts. And you know what? In some waters, in some places, in a lot of places, that's true. If you go to northern Wisconsin or Minnesota, where they love their muskie fishing, and you fish hard all summer long, you might see a fish or two. And if you're really lucky, you might even hook one. And if you're luckier yet, you might even get him in the boat. Okay? But if you really want a good shot at not only seeing but landing a trophy fish, and maybe more than one in a day, you need to go to Lake St. Clair. And if you're going to Lake St. Clair, you need to give Don Miller a call. Motor City Muskies, his website, www.millers-sportfishing.com, and we will put a link to there from outdoormagazine.tv. Don, what is it that makes Lake St. Clair such a trophy muskie factory?
Well, I think an understanding of muskies, Mike, is that they're predominantly a river-orientated fish. And, you know, I read a lot of their composures and makeups where they're at. I won't discredit Eagle Lake in Ontario and a few other lakes, and Lake in the Woods and a few places like that that I know have some great muskies in there. But I think if we were to talk about four great North American muskie waters that we have, is I absolutely would call the Ottawa River, the Niagara River, the St. Lawrence Seaway, and Lake St. Clair right at your very back door right here in Michigan. And Lake St. Clair is nothing more than a wide spot between two rivers, and it harbors pretty close to 260,000 acres of water, which is pretty shallow. It's like a big bowl or basin, with the average depth being 15 feet, and it flushes through from Lake St. Clair down through current, down through the Detroit River, and the turnover of water in there is every 4 to 5 days. So it has anything in it that lives in the Great Lakes for the fish to eat. It has a good current. The fish can withstand lake temperatures of 83, 84 degrees, which Lake St. Clair gets very warm on some days. And the lake completely freezes over in the wintertime, which the fish like. So the cold water fish is there, and it's just a premier breeding spot with all the marshiness that's around there for these fish to live, thrive, and survive.
You had said earlier these trophy fish, the really big ones, are more likely to be caught offshore out in the open water. What are you looking for out there then, Don? Are you trolling structure? Are you trolling temperature, bait fish? What are you looking for?
There's a little bit of wind-induced thermocline some days, but that's a day-to-day factor. But the things that I look for is that a lot is the color lines coming off of the creeks out into the main body of blue water or clear water as we see it, because the muddy creek coming out into the main body will go from mud to stain to clean. And I catch a lot of the bigger fish where those lines start to pan on out a little bit and get out in front of the mouths of these creeks and set up, which seems to hold a lot of bait fish in there. But also, wherever you find a grocery store, the predators usually aren't too far behind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Does that include, I suspect then that includes weed beds as well, with the weeds coming up in Lake St. Clair? Do these fish lay in the bottom or down in the weeds and watch stuff come over the top?
They like to get right on the edge of a weed bed and let things swim by them until they see the thing that they like the most to take it on and lunge out and grab it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Color lines, I find, you know, like I said earlier, Mike, to go from mud to stain or from stain to clean can be very active at times with bigger fish, because the muskies don't have a lot to camouflage themselves with out in a lake like Lake St. Clair where it gets really clean. And the only camouflage they have sometimes is where that water color changes and becomes lines. And fishing a color line, to me, is as good as fishing any piece of structure or jerking a bait along any seawall that you'll ever do in your life, because it's a camouflage line.
Do you then troll zigzags back and forth across that line? Do you stay just into the clean water, into the dirty water?
Yeah, from clean back into the dirty and back out and back out again into the clean.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick up a lot of fish. But those lines sometimes offshore, Mike, will take off out into the lake 3-4 miles, you know, before they really pan on out. Depends on the wind that you have that day. Anywhere from 2 to 4 miles, I'd say, would be a safe bet. So offshore is where it's at, you know. And you're playing around, you know, with baits on the back of the boat. That anytime that bait hits the water, I'm telling you, you're playing around with a stick of dynamite in there. You could take off at any time, because a lot of people have the mentality that they got to wait until this bait's all set and they got to set all the rods up on the bait before the fish takes off and decides to start fishing again. But I couldn't tell you the amount of times I've set one bait in the water before I can get the second one in. The first one was off and running.
Well, and speaking of those baits, before the break, you said something that got my attention. You said one of those little 6-inch baits. Don, most of us will never use a bait bigger than 6 inches. How big are these baits you're running out there?
Well, a standard is 8 to 10 inches on the baits. I won't say that I haven't pulled some around that were 14 inches. I certainly have and caught some nice fish on them, too. But the standard, I think, would be right around an 8- or 10-inch bait. But usually in the real clean water, like I said, one of those little 6-inch baits work pretty good because you're projecting more of an image. And this is a fish that uses its sight predominantly to survive by the majority of the time, you know.
And most of these baits are they're wooden, they're handmade, they're jointed, right? You like the jointed baits?
I like the jointed ones a lot. Yeah, yeah, I do.
And they seem to be fairly subtle, fairly natural or realistic colors. I mean, I don't remember seeing you run any chartreuse or bright orange or anything like that. That's not real common, is it?
No, I mean, I got a little bit of it, but I stay majority with the natural colors. I mean, I like the Drifter Tackle 8-inch jointed believer an awful lot, Mike. I think that pound per pound and inch per inch of bait that you can go get, that's probably the most consistent producer that's out there right now that I could think of. But I like that $9 bass color, the bass colors, the frog colors, and the perch colors. I think if you stay with those things, I think that any novice that goes out there and thinks about taking them on for themselves is going to do more or better with something like that than trying to buy all these tutti-frutties and exotic colors that mm-hmm. the fish see, and they never seen anything like that in their life, and they just stay away from it out in the lake.
Well, you know? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense with your crystal clear water. It does. Now, yeah. Tell me about your setup. You're running boards. You're running down rods. What else you throwing at these fish?
Well, I like to use a couple of 10-foot Dipsy rods, and I fill them with 40-pound test line, and I use 10 309 reels or 310 GT reels. I like them, and also the Daiwa 47SH C-line reels are real smooth drags. My leaders are 100-pound test, and I like to use the polycarb on that if I can get it. That's good stuff. It's expensive, but it's good stuff. And the cross locks are about 150-pound test. And people will say to me, why are you using a 100-pound test leader and 40-pound test line? Well, more often than not, I got a tackle mismatch for the fish that's on there. But I'll promise you, Mike, there's probably a good 65 to 70 times a season for me to where when I'm out there, these fish are going to shift gears on you like a semi on the back of that boat. And I'm telling you, you're going to wonder if you really got enough to run with that fish.
Wow.
You're really sweating it out. And it'll give your tackle a workout and stress it out, you know. I just tell people, too, look, it doesn't matter what you troll that bait with. It could be a piece of telephone cord that you got to tie it up with. And you're trolling it along the side of the boat. If you got that fish coming on up to take a look at your bait right there, he doesn't care if it's tied up a telephone cord. He's coming to hit the bait,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's been a lot of times I've been just testing the bait out along the side of the boat to see what it would swim like on the side of the boat and had the fish jump right on it and had to scream fish on, you know.
What's a big fish in your opinion these days, Don? What gets your attention?
Well, I say a lot of customers have done some death jobs with I write master anglers at 45 inches and 20 pounds or more. the state says I can ride them at 42 inches, but I don't do that. I just think that that's a minimum standard fish, and I always like to be above standard with mine. What gets my attention is when I start seeing them to go 48 to 55 inches. 56 is the longest I've seen.
Well, 50 is traditionally the magic number for musky fishermen, right? That's like the Holy Grail.
Yeah. That is the magic number.
And how many would you see of those in a season? Would you see more than one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's easy. Shoot, I see anywhere from, I'd say, 23 to probably 28 a year like that.
Wow.
You know, that's voted. That's just to my boat, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, I lose some, and I don't know how big they were, Mike. I don't know what, you know, they were. Ironically, the master angler fish that make it to the deck of my boat is just about one out of every 10 fish that I see, you know, on an average. And ironically, I'd say we lose pretty close. I want to say the lost fish that really I lose sleep about and wish I had them back again to do it different again is about 50% of those fish that are masters that make it to my boat. We lose about the other 50%. So, you know, like I said, I'll hook up, you know, close to 70 times a season with some real heavyweights out there. Maybe a little bit more, but about half of those make it to the deck of my boat.
Quickly, Don, before we have to let you go, will you let your customers keep a fish, or is that just strictly prohibited on your boat?
I pretty much prohibit that, Mike. I mean, if you've ever fished for muskies, you'll always say there's never enough of them, and the age of the fish that the customer would like to keep is anywhere between a 20 to 35 year old fish, and that would be another chapter in my book sometime to talk about that with you. I think, you know,
I would love to do that, Don. In the meantime, I'm going to wish you a good fishing season. I'm going to encourage people to go to your website, which is millers-sportfishing.com, and you have openings yet this summer, do you, Don?
Oh yeah, Mike.
All right, good deal. Millers-sportfishing.com. Don Miller, Motor City Muskies. Thanks, Don. Appreciate your time. Have a good season.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, we'll take a break here on the Outdoor Magazine Show. When we come back, we're going to talk to a guy who is supposed to be up in the Netherlands of Ontario right now, but he's not, and we'll find out why right after this.